Hello, and welcome to the Natural Rhythms podcast, A Culture of Well-Being. Today's episode is focused on Ayurvedic body types and constitutions. One of the many strengths of Ayurveda arises from its ability to individuate and customize recommendations for the individual person. In this way, each one of us is treated as a unique and treated as a whole person. Understanding the body type or constitution is a powerful tool. It is an essential requirement to adopt the principle of Ayurveda into your life. Your Ayurvedic constitution can vary based on the combination of elements that form your subtle body. These elements give rise to the three doshas, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, that govern the physical and functional manifestation of the body. In the previous podcast on Ayurvedic principles, we have discussed these elements and the doshas that arise from it and the functions that they perform in our body as well as in our environment. Listen to those if you are curious and if you just want to refresh your memory before continuing. As discussed in previous episodes, when doshas are in balance, they contribute to healthy structures and functional efficiencies. Imbalance leads to disease. Knowing your dosha constitution, you gain the understanding of what are your normal structural, functional, and psychological tendencies. You can observe these and how they're affected when you're out of balance. Ultimately, as you begin to understand the principles of balance, you can cultivate health and well-being by the means of your daily practices, diet, and even adopting new mental and emotional attitudes. So let us discuss the Ayurvedic constitution. Ayurvedic constitutions fall in seven major categories: the Vata dominant, the Pitta dominant, the Kapha dominant, Vata Pitta dominant, Kapha Vata dominant, and Pitta Kapha dominant, and lastly the Tridoshic, equal dominance of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. These major categories can certainly have variations in them because we all have Vata, Pitta, and Kapha in our body. But to simplify our discussion, we will look at the individual single dosha dominant constitutions in our discussion today, and then expand that into the dual dosha and tri-dosha dynamic constitutions. If you wish to review information discussed in this podcast, there is an accompanying article published on our website and the link to this article in the show notes. The article also connects to three videos relating to the individual constitution as they will be discussed in the next three sections. Some people are visual learners and I'm offering that as a way to guide them in their learning. I hope you find this a useful guide. The first dosha we will be discussing is the Vata dosha. Among the five basic elements of space, air, fire, water, and earth, the Vata dosha is predominantly observed as the air element, with a background silent space element. Among these two, the air element contributes to the Vata dosha the qualities of mobility, dryness, lightness, coldness, roughness, and subtleness. The space element provides the clear spaciousness, the lightness, the immeasurable and expansive qualities. As these two elements combined, Vata itself is called to be a light, subtle, mobile, changeable or variable, dry, rough, bold, and unsteady dosha. These qualities, of course, then translate into the individual characteristics. As I will be discussing so many specific qualities and characteristics, I invite you to follow the accompanying link to an article on our website where you can read along as I go over. Okay, here we go. The hair of the Vata dosha person is usually dry, it can be frizzy, it is rough to touch. Their skin is similarly dry and rough and flaking unless they're using moisturizers. Their eyes tend to get dry as well and are often restless and moving. The nails are brittle, they can often break, or sometimes they even tend to bite their nails. Their body frame tends to be thin, as the body cannot hold very much nourishment and generally tends to be light. Their muscle tone and their bone density are also very low. The bowel activity tends to be dry, constipated, or irregular. With good hydration and good nourishment, this can also be corrected, but the tendency will always to go in that direction. Sleep can be easily disturbed. They're very sensitive to sudden light noises. Memory, they tend to be quite forgetful, or they can have inconsistent memory where they remember certain things that are meaningful or they wish to remember for a particular reason, but otherwise forget very easily. They might even say, oh, I got it, I understand, and then go to the next room and forget what they were supposed to do. This is because the Vata mind is always mobile. It is always thinking fast, acting fast, in the motion. An individual like a Vata person, if you're talking to them and their mind is Vata aggravated, they will have tendency to talk over you. They will have tendency to go off on tangents. However, the lightness and the mobility of the mind does have a gift. It is a very creative mind. It is a very imaginative mind. It tends to be impulsive. And generally, this leads to taking chances and discovering new boundaries. Sometimes this can also be dangerous, and Vata can be an injury-prone person. They can also get easily confused because the mind moving too fast cannot observe too much details. In behavioral tendencies, the Vata dosha has difficulty staying in one place. They always have to move. They have to have a distraction going at the same time they're doing one thing. They have energy that is very variable. Sometimes they are very high energy, sometimes low, sometimes medium, but that is usually rare. They change their mind very easily, have difficulty deciding. They tend to be worriers and wanderers. They also like to be a busy bee, because becoming slow, still, and quiet will allow the mind to become noisy. Instead, being busy and active, they will be able to keep their mind focused on something. Emotionally, the Vata individual is very fun, very funny, excitable and exciting as a friend. They have difficulty committing, they have difficulty showing up, Sometimes they have difficulty convincing themselves to be doing the hard thing because of their fearful tendency. However, with encouragement and support, and with self-reflection and confidence in their skill, they can be quite creative geniuses and follow through on things that otherwise people might not have imagined as a solution. Often, a Vata individual or an individual with a Vata aggravation can have anxiety, and they can have lots of fears and phobias. Whenever I see an individual with a fear or phobia, I wonder, what is going on with the Vata? When I see the characteristic movements in their body, fidgetiness, moving around physically, knowingly or unknowingly, I wonder, in what way is the Vata aggravated, or in what way can it be supported with better kapha or refined pitta? This is the Vata individual with a Vata predominance or Vata aggravation. Please take a moment to look over this outline. Notice if you have a predominance of these qualities or someone you know has predominance of these qualities. As mentioned many times here, individuals with a healthy Vata constitution will also have dryness, roughness, thinness, lightness, forgetfulness, etc., which are natural to a Vata constitution. But individuals in other constitution, when Vata aggravated, will also show the symptoms of a Vata constitution. Therefore, we must consider if a person is healthy and their constitutional peculiarities are within a healthy boundary, or a person is experiencing an aggravation and therefore experiences symptoms of dis-ease when we're assessing a constitution. This will be true for the next two constitutional discussions. I'll give you a moment to look over the Vata dosha and reflect on it. Now let us discuss the Pitta dosha. Among the five basic elements, the Pitta is made from the fire and water element. Fire here is the predominant element and is most observable, while the water works in the background, primarily related to the unctuous, the liquid and spreading qualities of the fire. The fire element contributes the hot, sharp, light, drying, subtle, illuminating, and transformative qualities to this constitution. The combination of the fire and water make Pitta dosha have the following qualities. It is slightly oily, it is sharp, hot, it is penetrating, it is light, it is flowing, and has a liquid-like spreading quality that it can spread along a medium. For example, thinking of a wick of match burning from one edge to the other. But when the wick is finished, that match cannot burn anymore and the fire goes out. So it always needs a medium or a fuel to flow. The physical attributes of a Pitta predominant individual tend to be the following. Their hair is a medium thickness. Generally, they tend to have a full head of hair when they're younger, but may go bald early in their years. Skin is often oily, warm to touch. They complain of being hot or feeling warm and being aggravated by hot temperatures. Their eyes are very distinct, they're bright, they're attractive. Their nails tend to be pink, and if pressed, they can be easily blanched. The indication here is the increased blood flow and therefore heat arriving at the extremities or the periphery of the skin. They're medium build, generally stocky, not too tall, not too short. Their bowels tend to be regular, but when pitta aggravated, they can be loose. They sleep pretty well. They fall asleep easily and generally only have sleep difficulties when they're annoyed or upset about something or they're trying to problem solve. Their memories are sharp. They have very selective recall though. Only if something is meaningful, something they want to remember according to their need or their plan, they will remember. Otherwise, they will forget and move on. Mentally, they are very focused. They are intelligent individuals. They are sharp in learning new things and tend to get impatient when they cannot get a thing or having difficulty executing the plans in their mind. They tend to be very goal-oriented and ambitious. Because of the sharp, focused, intelligent mind, the individual can tend to have the attitude of going my way or the highway. The tendency here is to take lead and take control, which can be a great attribute in a leader and a balanced pitta constitution. However, in an insecure or imbalanced pitta constitution, this can easily lead to tyranny. Individuals of the pitta constitution can also be looked at as being aggressive. But the aggression is the sharp quality of the individual and sharp quality of the mind. If the balance is there, the aggression will only come across as directness. But if the balance is not there, it can come across as belligerence or a fighting nature. These individuals are very hardworking. They want to get things right. When balanced, this is a very good quality. But when out of balance, they can be controlling and perfectionist. And this can further aggravate the pitta. The emotional tendency of the pitta individual is generally quite passionate. When they like something, when they get into something, they really immerse themselves in it. However, if the flame runs out or their interest runs out, they can drop it just as quickly. They do not become attached to it. They're very practical in this way. The individual of the pitta constitution can also be very dynamic, not as changeable dynamic as a vata, but dynamic in the sense that they have a charisma and a shine that they can bring to a situation. They can speak eloquently and give a lot of great ideas that are exciting and inspiring, therefore making them a suitable leader when they're in a healthy, balanced state. Because of the irritable tendency, they can tell to hold on to grudges. They can even forget sometimes why they got mad, but just remember the feeling of anger and hold on to it, unable to let go. This can be worked on by using rationale and reason to reduce the anger and irritability. When a pitta can reason to have forgiveness, when a pitta can have reason to do compromise, when the pitta person can reason to accommodate another individual, then they can be as spacious as a vata or a kapha individual. Whenever we are stuck, we must always consider a pitta constitution needs to be practical. It needs to be reasonable. When we can give practical tools and reasonable approaches to a solution, they can move forward. As mentioned before, what is discussed here as aggravations of pitta or the negative tendencies of the pitta constitution are not limited to the constitutionally pitta person. A pitta aggravated individual of a kapha constitution or a vata constitution can show similar characteristics of a pitta individual. Therefore, we must see the context of the symptom. Is it natural for a person, or is it coming in an aggravated state only? Next, we will discuss the kapha constitution. Kapha, as mentioned earlier in the dosha discussion, is a variable combination of water and earth. The individual can be also quite variable, whether they have more watery qualities or earthy qualities. Let's look at the specific qualities of the elements. Water tends to contribute the coldness, the flowing, the unctuousness or moistness, the liquidity, the smoothness, and the adhesive or attaching quality to the kapha constitution. The earth element contributes the heaviness, hardness, density, staticness or stability, a slow-moving inertia, like nature, to the kapha dosha. Ultimately, the combination creates the kapha qualities of being very stable and static, the tendency to be heavy, dense in the body type and also in the mind, tendency to feel cold physically. Generally, they are not too emotionally cold, and we'll discuss this here. They tend to be more soft and smooth. They can be very attached and deeply connect with things around them, hence the slimy and sticky quality. And they can be very methodical individual, hence the slow-moving quality. The speech of a kapha individual is slow, soft, and flowing. They like to take their time to think and reflect and speak. Let's look at other qualities of the kapha dosha. The physical characteristic of a kapha individual are reflected in dense, full, and very smooth hair. Smooth, soft, moist skin that is often cool because they tend to feel cold and don't have a lot of peripheral circulation. They have a soft, moist eyes, rarely dry. They have dense fingernails, usually cool fingertips. Their body frame is large and heavy, generally because of a dense muscular and skeletal features, and sometimes because of dense fatty tissue on their body. The bowels tend to be bulky and oily, sometimes constipated and sticky. They generally sleep very deep and don't easily get disturbed. Their memories are very strong, as if putting an impression on a clay, the Kapha does not forget what creates an emotional impression on them. Mentally, they are very slow and methodical. Individuals might be thought of as being slow and might even feel like they're dumber than others. I have seen this so many times. But in fact, they are naturally needing to go deeply in their reflection and take time to come to a decision, take time to come to what they feel is right and do that thing. This is in fact a gift when we need someone to be an organizer, someone to really bring together people and bring together events that need a lot of intercommunication and connection. They're so methodical and thoughtful in putting things together that you can really trust the structure they create. This is also benefited by their patient, calm nature. When aggravated, the Kapha mind can be lethargic and even feel foggy. In terms of behavior, they're pretty easygoing. Generally, they're kind and spacious to others and allow others to do what they want to do. However, for themselves, they need a routine and flow. A routine often benefits the Kapha individual by giving them a sense of calm and belonging and internal strength. They have a gentle mind, a loving, caring, empathic mind. They're sensitive to the needs of others and therefore often very compassionate to others. They might find difficulty getting started on new things or accepting change, but once they connect with it, once they get going, they have the greatest mental and physical stamina and endurance. The Kapha constitution is also considered the strongest immunologically. They tend to have a very strong immune response and have a very stable, sturdy, and resilient constitution. It takes a lot for disease to develop in such a constitution. However, when disease develops, it can also be stubborn and slow to break. The features mentioned here can be often seen in an individual with a Kapha predominant constitution. Aggravations are more likely also in a Kapha predominant constitution. This aggravation can be slow, lethargic, foggy quality, attachment and difficulty letting go, and sadness, even depression. Physically, they can become overweight, feel very stagnant, have low energy, etc. However, in a Kapha aggravated constitution of a Pitta type and Kapha Vata type, similar constitutional aggravations can be seen. Take a moment to reflect on your constitution and how much of the Kapha is reflected in you. Is there any or is there none? In the next section, we will discuss how these constitutions appear in nature and how individuals are affected and reflect all three doshas at any given time. Now that we have familiarity with the single dosha constitutions, we will move into taking a closer look at the dual dosha and tri-doshic constitutions. This is not going to be an individual discussion of the additional four categories of constitutions. Instead, a generalized discussion how the singular doshas mix and match and create individuality in the dual doshic and tridoshic individuals. My hope is that you take a time to observe yourself and people around you as mixtures of the different single dosha constitutions. And from your observations, start getting familiar with how to recognize a vata dominant trait, a pitta dominant trait, and a kapha dominant trait. As this over time will give you an intuitive understanding of what mixture of doshas are present in an individual and in yourself. So let's begin this discussion. Individuals with a dual dosha are far more common than individuals with single dosha and tridosha constitutions. Therefore, learning about the individual dosha type is a crude tool to start thinking about individuality. Like all aspects of Ayurveda, understanding your living constitution requires keen observation of the qualities of the elements that are being represented by the specific traits. The reason for this is that we are a dynamic and ever-changing state of existence, especially while we are alive. So, even in a dual dosha constitution and tri-dosha constitution, one dosha might dominate over the others depending on the season, the day, or the environment. For example, in a vata-pitta constitution, the vata dosha or the vata aggravation may predominate in the fall and winter season, while the pitta dosha or pitta aggravations can predominate in the summer season. Furthermore, certain dual constitution individuals will have slightly more dominance of one dosha or slightly less dominance of other dosha in general. So for example, an individual might show 45% vata traits, 35% pitta traits, and 20% kapha traits. This person would be called a pitta-vata constitution or a vata-pitta constitution. A kapha-pitta individual might represent 50% pitta traits, 35% kapha traits in the summer, then change to represent 50% kapha traits and 35% pitta traits in the winter. This change in the dual doshas can be affected, as mentioned, by the environment, it can change by the time of day, and other reasons. The variations are very individualistic and must be observed through lived experience. It might take you a whole year or a few years to observe closely all the factors that affect you and how you change based on the time of day, the seasonal factors, and the environmental factors. This is a worthwhile journey because even starting on the first day of observing yourself, you can start assessing what feels in balance and what feels out of balance in your constitution. As you feel more confident over the days or few months of observations, you can meticulously start to experiment with Ayurvedic diet, lifestyle, daily routines to gain health and resilience. At our clinic and in my practice, this is the main thing I try to instill in the clients I see. I try to talk to them in the language of the doshas as much as possible. I try to translate the language of the doshas into the living experience of symptoms or traits they have. I articulate these traits and symptoms in terms of strengths and imbalances. In that way, people start to process their existence in the language of doshas. I don't try to push them to understand themselves fully the first time. Rather, I plant some seeds of observation. As I observe them, I speak that out loud where it seems appropriate. And as they recognize that trait, I try to articulate that in the language of doshas. You see, this dry skin is dry, and just like the air element is dry in the absence of moisture, and therefore is a trait of vata. You see, your throat feels dry, and this is dryness is absence of moisture, or dryness is the absence of kapha, and therefore we need kapha balancing. If you notice a hot symptom or a burning symptom, I similarly guide them to observe that aggravation of pitta can be an absence of kapha or secondary to aggravation of vata. And in the sense, I try to point out to them these symptoms so that they can start to familiarize with the language of elements, their qualities, and doshas that arise from them. I don't need them to understand the medicine. Rather, as they heal and as their traits change based on the healing power of the medicines, like the diet, lifestyle, routines, as well as the herbs they take, they start to recognize that, oh, I'm noticing there is less dryness in my throat. I'm noticing my joints don't feel as hot, or I don't feel as hot, or recognizing that my mind doesn't race as much, and recognize that one quality has reduced while a balancing quality has taken its place. Similarly, in your daily experience, you can start to notice which qualities predominate. If a particular quality predominates and it feels like a strength, you can use it as a strength and continue to cultivate that. If a quality predominates and it feels like an inconvenience or imbalance, you can consider what would be a balancing quality to this. And in turn, try to incorporate a diet, lifestyle, or daily routine that will bring up that opposite quality. This ultimately leads to balance. These aspects of self-care and clinical management are subject of another podcast in the future. For now, I would just invite you to familiarize yourself as a living, dynamic, ever-changing individual who have specific normal tendencies and normal characteristics that defined your constitution. As you start to recognize yourself in the language of Ayurveda, you will ultimately be able to recognize the balances and imbalances in the language of Ayurveda. Then, as you recognize the balance and imbalance, you can start to recognize what is balancing and what is imbalancing in the language of Ayurveda. This takes time. This takes meticulousness, this takes meditation, and it is a journey. I have been doing this for 15 years exclusively, and for me, this has become an intuition to the point sometimes people tell me, am I a psychic or am I somehow special? But the truth is, we're all special and we are all capable of making these simple observations. My job is to observe people, and therefore I'm able to extrapolate from what I see, and they think that I know them better than I know them. This is funny and fun to do with people. However, the greatest joy is seeing people recognize themselves and start to take control of their health and well-being. I hope that you will take this podcast and the information presented here as inspiration to start on this journey and continue for as long as it suits you. Thank you so much for listening. My heart is with you. May you be blessed. Namaste.